Martyrology book one in his hands, reading it to himself in an almost inaudible mumble, an occasional phrase or line as eyes hit lips. Author.
Driving east on
years ago,
Algonquin Park, mid-October 77, Lake of Two Rivers,
flew away
by the earth. First snows clumped upon the trees and phone lines, dark greens and openness, raising, phasing past through. Nothing's final in itself, only tools you use breaking through the unyielding word. That world of feeling governed. Picture a man 31 narrating this poem. Picture a man 36 typing this final draft. Picture the man writing what is only his own. Picture the man who writes. Picture me not broken up by the man telling my turn. They are all in one way, not me for nothing. My lady, this is the day I want to try to think with my eye in the drawing somewhere on campus, not like the sky outside his window. Calling up to talk, one cannot hear him. We do see his lips fold. The narrator moves on stage. His tongue is desolate. Spelling K in G, one between H I J and the tree end. One moon, winter day, straight through the shining glass. See it as it was, the way the bird sat there on the branch, a word in a poem.
Hey, welcome to Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. I'm Jason Canlon. I'm here with Catherine McLeod, and we're going to be doing a deep dive into a record by Gary Barwin today called I After H, Music After BP Nickel. And we just heard the first track from that album, which is called BP at 80. So Gary Barwin is a Hamilton-based writer, poet, visual artist, sound artist. There's really pretty much nothing that Gary Barwin can't do creatively well. And this album is just another example of him working in all different kinds of media really quite beautifully. It's also a great example of, it seems like a sort of surge of work that's been arising in tribute to BP Nickel, especially sound work lately.
And also it's continuing something that we've been exploring here on Sonic Lit, which is sound poetry. We've actually played some BP Nickel on earlier episodes. And so it's really fascinating to sort of hear how another poet is interpreting and remixing the sounds of BP Nickel. We've also played other archival remixes on this show too. So here thinking of the album based on Anne Waldman's poetry by Siren Recordings. And so it's, kind of continuing another theme on that we've been developing, which is thinking about remixing the archive on Sonic Lit. So in this album, we just heard the track called BP at 80, and that was performance that Barwon created for a celebration that was imagining, you know, BP having turned 80. BP did not turn 80. He passed away unexpectedly quite early in his life, in his 40s, in 1988. So you can imagine if this poet who passed away in 1988, people are, you know, still gathering and paying tribute to him and creating new work in honor of him. And that really shows the influence that he's had. This is something that actually has been part of kind of the celebration, but also the critical work on BP Nickel, is that it seems often around like every 10 years or so, there's some sort of both creative and critical tribute. I'm thinking of some of the issues of Open Letter that were published 10 years after his passing, and other kinds of moments in time when artists have gotten together to celebrate his work. So his work really does continue to inspire artists to create new pieces and new tributes. It also just, again, shows the influence. So we're kind of sitting with the ghost of BP Nickel, but thinking of that as a really creative ghost on this show.
Yeah. So frames for the show: Gary Barwon as an artist, which we started talking about, the ghost of BP Nickel and tributes to BP Nickel. It really fits well with that. I want to mention a third one, Catherine, that should excite you, because some of these pieces by Gary that we're going to hear were first presented at a conference that you and I organized back in 2015. It was a conference called CanLit Across Media, Unarchiving the Temporal Literary Event, which eventually became a book that we published with McGill Queen's University Press.
I was going to say, Jason, that title sounds very familiar.
Yeah. And it was an amazing conference because it mixed scholars, librarians, archivists, and artists. And I'd say, I should have said, Gary Barwon, in addition to being a poet, a novelist, a visual artist, a sound artist, is also a scholar, an academic, and does research on Canadian literature as well. And so he presented a paper on some of the concepts surrounding the works that became this album at that conference, along with some clips of, I guess, early mixes, you know, mm-hmm. of pieces that appear on this record that we're going to be featuring today.
Thanks for taking me back in time to 2015, Jason. That conference or symposium, as we called it, like it really, it had such a big impact because not only did we then worked with a lot of the presenters on the book that came out of it that you can check out and read. It's called CanLit Across Media, Unarchiving the Literary Event. But also many of the ideas that we explored at the conference, we've done things like that through the Spoken Word Project since then. So the ideas of like gathering people together and just recording sort of a blast of short readings, or thinking about the ways in which when recording an event you can record from different places in the room, or even thinking about performing the archive and much more. So I'm, you know, there's more that you'll probably hear a bit more about that symposium over the course of this show. So it's really great thinking about these pieces that now are come out on this album by Gary Barwon in 2025, having their really their beginnings in 2015 for that literary event. I think we're going to hear another track from the album. Which one are we going to go to next? Are we going to go in order?
I think we're going to go in order. And what I'd like to do, actually, we're going to hear from that conference a little bit sooner than maybe we'd imagined.
We might hear from it now.
Well, almost.
Yeah, I think into we want to. Archive.
So at that conference, one of the pieces that Gary Barwon was experimenting with was a piece called Breathe. Mm-hmm. And it was a piece in which essentially he was checking the affordances of breath, right? Which is something that as a sound poet, BP Nickel was very invested in. All of the Four Horsemen were, you know, BP Nickel was also part of the Four Horsemen, which is a sound poetry collective or group. But at the time, Gary had just been working on this breathing part of a much longer piece. So I think what we're going to hear now is the second track on the album I After H, which is called H, For It Is a Surprise and a Pleasure to Breathe. And I should say, H was BP Nickel's favorite letter,
yes.
Right? And I'll ask you what your favorite letter is after we listen to this. But we're going to hear this track. So this is the Realized track that was just, this album was just put out a couple of weeks ago. And then we're going to go back to that 2015 conference where Gary Barwin sort of explains in a way what this experiment is with Breathe. But you're going to be surprised because beyond just the Breathe part of this sound piece, Gary adds a lot of other things as well. So first we're just going to listen to H for It's a Surprise and Pleasure to Breathe, and then we'll hear Gary Barwin explaining some things about part of this piece as he did at the 2015 Canlit Across Media Conference.
Thank you.
continue to listen to Breathe. Let's hear Gary talk about it.
I'm going to talk about a piece that I have been working on based on recordings of BP Nickel. And so it's a multimedia piece I've been working on, so I'm going to talk about different aspects of that. And all the work that are available, if I say this in here, so I don't want to say it again, but many of the work exists in archives. And so that's one of the most recent. Last year was the 70th, would have been the 70th birthday, and so I guess that's what initially inspired me. In much of his work, BP Nickel explores the relationship of the body to language, not only the phonic contextual reality of the poem, speech, each, to each, but the physical embodiment of writing. What is a poem is inside of your body? BP Nickel's physical presence, as mediated through his visual image, his scraggly hair and blue velour smock, as well as, most importantly, his recorded voice, have become iconic. Indeed, one could say that in some respects, the man himself has become an aspect of the work, or at least an aspect of the reception of the work. There's a story that faced with an inattentive audience of drinkers interrupting a poetry reading at the Brunswick Tavern in Toronto, he chanted, "Hey, hey, steer clear, don't you be no cultural hero." But today, Nickel has become that cultural hero. Hence, the t-shirt I wore, I'm wearing today, my costume. What would BP do? It's been almost 30 years since Barry Nickel died. The text, which is BP Nickel and which is BP Nickel's work, continues to have a presence through his innumerable publications and recordings. Some of these are commercially available, but many are only readily accessible through a variety of archives or online sources. This includes many recordings of live performances, which are only available in such online sites as UbuWeb, PanSound, and the soon-to-be-relaunched bpnickel.ca. Upon encountering the archival recordings of BP Nickel reading and performing, I became interested in how this iconic work and his iconic voice could be explored by artistic creators in addition to scholars. I was especially interested in the unreleased recordings of readings, rich in paratextual details and a sense of occasion. And so, over the last year or so, I've been developing H, for It Is a Pleasure and a Surprise to Breathe, an extended multimedia piece inspired by BP Nickel's practice of border blur, his enthusiastic engagement with heterogeneous forms. I've used the archival recordings as source material for computer manipulation, and I've integrated them with new audio, textual, and visual work written and performed by me. In writing H, I considered how newly written work could be used both to artistically explore aspects of BP Nickel's oeuvre, as well as his manner of performance, and even the nature of the recordings. These archival recordings could be used as the building blocks of new work, work that addresses and further explores his concerns, particularly with notions of identity, performance, breath, and the body. I knew that there would be something viscerally powerful about using the actual recordings and the recognizable sound of an iconic and much-loved writer's voice. I wondered about the notion of the post-lyric self. In what way are these phonotexts, when used as raw material, separate from human identity, the wizard of self that we imagine behind the curtain of the recording? And what about my own embodiment when I perform with these recordings? If I perform live or mix recordings of myself with these sources, do BP and I exist in the same dimension, or do we each exist in our own individual cloud towns? In this talk, I'd like to demonstrate and discuss some different approaches that I've taken with the archival source material when creating H, for It Is a Pleasure and a Surprise to Breathe, and what questions I think that these may raise. In working with the source recordings, I've been thinking about what Steve Evans, in a recent article in A-Modern, refers to as phonotextuality, or how timbre, text, and technology braid together in the phonotext. Text and technology are perhaps sufficiently clear as terms, but it's worth repeating what Evans writes about the third term, timbre. In his Jacket 2 commentary series, The Phonotextual Braid, Evans says that he uses the term timbre to organize a set of reflections on the voice as it is encountered in recorded poetry, the voice as a sign that indexes before, alongside of, and beyond other meaning-making, the condition and situation of the body that produces it, hearing voice as rhyming with noise, specifically the noise emitted by the human animal situated somewhere along its trajectory toward death in a condition of finitude. Cheery thought. In BP's particular case, the trajectory towards death and the condition and situation of the body are particularly present in the mind of the listener, considering the tragic and near martyrological fact of his early passing. Further, since one of my central themes in H is breath, and as you'll hear, I've used specific breath sounds in isolation, we're reminded of the physicality and sound that life makes. BP's sound poem, Beast, it's one that goes, I dreamed I saw Hugo Ball, was released in 1971 on the cassette titled BP Nickel. In this recording, the characteristics of a non-professionally trained voice are apparent, the slightly off intonation and the physical strain that can be heard in the breathing. The timbre of Nickel's voice reflects a condition and situation of the body that produces it, to recall Evan's phrase. There is a moment in Beast where Nickel chants the word breathing several times. I took a single iteration of that word, breathing, and time stretched it, extending it as if Nickel had more than human lung capacity. Breathing. The default assumption when beginning to listen to my piece is that this is a recording of the man, Nickel, a kind of suspense occurs. How long can Nickel hold this note? At some point, the listener begins to realize that this isn't a recording of actual human performance, that this isn't realism, but rather perhaps magic realism. A mythic breath like that of Columba Hoya, who made the whole world an instrument of sound. The listener balances reality of human lung capacity with trickery of artifice. Then another kind of suspense happens. How long will this go on for? How long can the composer sustain this kind of exhalation ad infinitum? This has become about sound and not words. The form is psychological and is based on the listener's response. And what began as a representation of a human sound becomes something else, something like the body, but not, something like BP Nickel's voice, but not, and then the sustained and with an ink. The sound object has been verbed, has returned to the original human script. Now we can all breathe a sign of relief, a realistic sigh. So I will play you.
No, he won't, because we just played it for you before.
And I'm taking a breath, a sigh of relief. We were listening to Gary Barwin explaining his early thinking about the piece that we'd heard previously, H is a Surprise and a Pleasure to Breathe. And we heard him talking about that opening breathe that we just heard again, that starts off the track, and his reasons for why he extended it for so long. And I think that probably when you were listening to it the first time around, you were wondering, is this going to end? Is this someone really saying this note for so long? And then having that moment of realizing that that's humanly impossible and somehow this is being manipulated. But yeah, what a deep breath, and what a sound of breathing.
Yeah, I really like Gary's thoughts and play on the idea of suspended breath. So there's suspension, a sense of suspense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, will this ever end? But then also the idea of suspended breath, meaning not breathing, you know, mm-hmm. and as a tribute, BP Nickel can no longer breathe these poems to life, but Gary's been working hard on finding new ways to bring them back in that way and to actually have us feel BP Nickel's breath again.
Well, you're listening to Sonic Lit, a spoken web radio show. We're listening to Gary Barwin's album, I After H, and also dipping back into some archival recordings, both of Gary Barwin at Canlit Across Media in 2015, and possibly some more archival clips from the archives featuring BP Nickel himself coming up next.
Festival Bleu Bleu, presented by SiriusXM, is back for its 7th edition. From June 20th to 23rd, Carlton-sur-Mer will come alive with performances by Ariane Roy, Petit Beliveau, Clopel Gag, High Classified, Uri, Gus Engelhorn, Belly, Maggie Merlin, and many more. Don't miss the epic Beach Electro Night, the Artisan Market, the classic Mussels and Fries Dinner, the Water Skipping Tournament, and plenty other fun activities. Contact your friends and plan your Gaspésie getaway. Tickets and details at festivalbleubleu.com.
Bleu. You're listening to Sonic Lit with me, Catherine McLeod, and I'm here in the booth with
Jason Camlott.
And we're listening to, we're listening to poetry, but we're listening to some sound poetry that is by Gary Barwin, the album I After H. And it's a sound poetry album that's engaging with the archives of the poet B.P. Nicol. So we are going to dive into the archives and pull up a little clip of B.P. Nicol himself. This is a reading that he did at Sir George Williams University, which was the name of what is now known as Concordia. We're recording this live at the CGLO studio at the Loyola campus of Concordia. So B.P. Nicol did a reading in 1968 at Sir George Williams. He read with Lionel Kearns. And in this reading, they read a number of poems. They alternated back and forth. There's much more to say than we're going to tell you about today. But this reading features a poem of his it's a very short poem, but when I was listening to Gary Barwin's album, I was reminded of it. And it's a poem by Nicol that's called Cycle Number 22. It's a poem when he actually introduces it in the reading, he kind of says, like, I actually kind of forget why I called it Cycle Number 22, which is a good reminder that sometimes, like, the titles are a little bit abstract, perhaps even for the poets. But I think that there's some reasons why there's a cyclical nature to the poem. Anyways, that on the Barwin CD, there's a track called I Drum. And as soon as I saw the word drum and then heard the poem sort of featuring percussion, I was thinking about the word drum and how significant the word drum is in this poem, Cycle Number 22. It's a poem that also lets me tell you that B.P. Nicol, as much as being a sound poet, was really a visual concrete poet, because this poem, if you imagine it being written in three columns of words, just like running down the page, it's three columns of words. It starts out with the words drum and a wheel, and then it runs from there and becomes really a creation in and of itself, takes on its own rhythm. So we're going to hear B.P. Nicol reading, performing drum and a wheel as a way of hearing his voice in the archives, and then we're going to step back to Gary Barwin. So here's B.P. Nicol, 1968, Cycle Number 22.
This is called, for a reason I cannot remember at all, Cycle Number 22. Drum and a wheel and a drum and a heel and a druma and a heel and a ruma and a heela and a ruma and a eel and a dada rum and a eel and a dada rum and a eel dada rum and a wheel and a drum and a wheel and a drum and a wheel and a drum and a wheel and a wheel and a drum and a wheel and a drum and a wheel. Thank you.
Lama by BP Nickel, performed and recorded in 1966. That was the sound that you also heard sampled during Gary Barwin's track iDrum. And we thought that we'd take you back into Nickel in the archives and hear where that sound was coming from. That was a clip of a recording of Dada Lama that we were able to access through Penn Sound. And we've been listening to archival mixes and new creations by Gary Barwin on his album I After H. So along with all of the sounds that we've been hearing, I had mentioned before when we were going to listen to cycle number 22 that BP Nickel was also a concrete poet. And we've been staring here at the album art on the cover of Gary Barwin's album, and we thought we need to tell you about how the album art is also concrete poetry. And it features the letter
H.
The letter of breath that Barwin had been telling us about was BP Nickel's favorite letter. And it also is very much in the style of Nickel in his concrete poetry that would explore not really like along with the sonic potential of the alphabet, the visual potential, creating poems with the alphabet. And this album art is doing something quite similar, both with H and I.
I.
And there's also a circle, blue circle. The colors of blue and yellow feature prominently on this album.
There's a large blue circle, which may be a period or maybe an O.
Yes.
Or maybe a blue hole or a planet.
Or the middle of a blue balloon, to quote one of the, yeah, the Hugo Ball-inspired poems that BP Nickel did with the Four Horsemen.
Absolutely. And there's also a smaller, yet still, you know, substantial black circle, mm-hmm, which suggests a very large period, mm-hmm, or a bowling ball.
Yeah. Really one or the other.
Yeah. But it is a beautiful album cover, which, you know, work of art, work of concrete poetry, mm-hmm, by Gary Barwin to go with the sounds on the album. Mm-hmm.
So do check it out if you want to after the show. It's all available on Bandcamp, but I think you can probably order the album. I would think so.
Oh yeah, you can buy the digital album for $10 on Bandcamp, and you can stream it there. Yeah. Just to check it out before you download it. So we're going to go ahead and reverse the order this time and allow Gary Barwin from 2015
right.
to explain a sound poem that he was working on that also appears on this record. And then we're going to play that poem. This is B poem, which is based on the body poem.
Yeah, this poem, it's a poem, well, we're probably going to hear, but we'll let Barwin explain it, but just even in saying the title out loud, I feel like it's making Jason and I are both smiling and kind of figuring out like how to say it, because poem is the poem by B.P. Nichol that this whole thing is based on, but then he's added a B just before, and it's made it look a lot like B.P. Nichol's name and really had that kind of playful quality that B.P. also had, but then you kind of wonder, like, do you say BP Yom or B poem, or how do you say this title? So that's why we were having a bit of a laugh about that. Well, we'll let Barwin explain.
Yeah, and I also wanted to just, I was laughing also just because we played that
BP
Nichol poem in one of the earliest episodes, I think, of this show, and so you know. Poem, P-O-M-E, really, was a part of getting this show started.
Mm-hmm. Another approach to the use of source text can be found in my piece, The Poem Biome, which uses an almost complete and unmodified recording of BP's poem. This sound poem was released on BP Nichol's 1982 cassette, Irrational, but was recorded 10 years earlier. The original is already in archive. This poem is the one which begins, what is a poem is inside of your body. In terms of timbre, it is apparent how young and fresh sounding the 28-year-old BP was. And there's an earnestness to the voice, the text, and to the performance. And BP's poem addresses embodiment in a very sing-song way, a simple nursery rhyme-like melody and rhythm. In my setting of the piece, I chose to preserve this aspect of the original, so I cut the text after the last repetition of what is a poem is inside of your body. To me, the next bit, what is a poem is inside of your happy, seemed a bit datedly earnest. But then again, the very simplicity, the childlike innocence of BP's entire poem, and particularly the happy, comes out of a counterculture that deliberately deployed earnestness against a hegemony that was perceived as ruthlessly cynical. Innocence, earnestness, and inclusivity were not symptoms of naivete, but sources of power that had to be worked towards and even fought hard for. A flower inserted in the barrel of a gun. Using source material from a different cultural moment to make effective contemporary art requires that one reconsider how the original reads in the contemporary world and how it might have been read in its own time. My musical additions are perhaps a framing device that causes the listener to consider these issues. Against the skipping game rhyme regularity of BP's text, I've added some highly syncopated elements, the dull thud of a drum, and a variety of atonal piano punctuations. The body lurches, staggers, fights off outside forces, is aware of itself as temporally contingent. In some places, the drum aligns with a particular noun, the body or the heart. In counterpoint to the simple diatonic tune, I've added snaking atonal melodies and discordant chordal shots. Against the near kidlit chant, I've counterposed a more aggressive contemporary art music ensemble. Just as we're aware that this piece takes a classic performance by an iconic figure and collages it with new contrasting musical material, so we're aware of the interplay of two different parallel worlds. The interplay both makes strange the original, allowing us to hear it anew, but also makes apparent its defining characteristics and uses it as a single coherent element, a found object perhaps.
What is a poem is inside of your body. What is a poem is inside of your head, inside your head, inside your head, inside your head. Oh, what is a poem is inside of your fingers. What is a poem is inside of your toes, inside your toes, inside your toes, inside your toes. Oh, what is the poem is inside of your belly. What is the poem is inside of your heart, inside your heart, inside your heart, inside your heart. Oh, what is the poem is inside of your eyes. What is the poem is inside of your nose, inside your nose, inside your nose, inside your nose. Oh, what is the poem is inside of your ear? ears, 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 ears. What is a poem? It's inside of your mouth, inside your mouth, inside your mouth, inside your mouth. Oh, what is a poem? It's inside of your voice, 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 voice. What is a poem is inside of your body, inside your head, inside your fingers, inside your toes, inside your belly, inside of your heart, inside of your eyes, inside of your nose, inside of your ears, inside of your lips, inside your voice. So what is a poem is inside of your body, 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 body.
This is a public service announcement with guitar!
Are you following the Canadian election? Where do you plan on getting the results on election night? How about CJLO's live election night broadcast? We'll be broadcasting live on April 28th from 6 p.m. until the election is called. As results roll in, we'll be having honest conversations with community members, activists, experts, and journalists about election issues that matter to you, CJLO listeners, complete with a call-in section and some election-themed tunes. That's April 28th from 6 p.m. until the election is called. Over 5 hours of straight, live, trustworthy, grassroots election coverage.
All right, we're back. This is Sonic Lit, Spoken Web Radio Show, CJLO 1690. Let's take a break from poetry for a second, and let me ask, Catherine, did you go vote yet?
Yes, I voted in the advance poll.
Oh, wow. One of the 7 million plus Canadians who did so? Good for you. I still have to go after the show, so.
We record this live, so indeed, it is election day here in Canada, you know, a good day for some sound poetry. I was thinking while we were listening to the last track. So the last thing that we just heard was BPOM, the version that Gary Barwin has created based on BP Nichols' poem. I was wanting to ask Jason while we were listening, what did you find yourself listening to while we were listening to that poem?
Initially, it was, you know, because he was actually playing along with the poem, you know. First, I was listening to BP's voice because it sounded so great. I think, you know, through the processing that Gary must have given it, it sounded really clear and present. And then how he was adding those tom hits, you know, right along with the poem. Mm-hmm. But then I became very interested in the sort of asynchronous keyboard playing that he was doing, and then I started so this is not a very good thing to have been thinking about, maybe, but I was thinking about, I wonder what keyboard sound he was using for that. So I was actually thinking technically, because it was a really interesting sound that suggested sort of acoustic, you know, piano, but also kind of experimental Philip Glassy type of piano. So I started, as the poem went on, I became more absorbed with the actual sound of the keyboard. And I started wondering about, like, you know, yeah, which keyboard he was using for that, you know, what I mean, like software, MIDI software keyboard sound he might have been using for that, or was it some other way that he was playing the keyboard?
Yeah, well, I was listening to that, but in a slightly different way. But I was also listening to that keyboard sound and thinking about the way that that poem, it has such a kind of sing-song quality to it. And it was really interesting that he was able to disrupt that by having, it kind of be atonal and just like sort of like where the keyboard would come in. It wasn't mimicking the melody. It was, in fact, like felt very much in dissonant, like a dissonant sound that was coming up and interrupting the melody. And so it made me almost like hear the poem anew in that way too, because then I thought, well, you know, is this poem, are we perhaps fooled to think it's almost like too easy or like too too much of just, you know, oh, it's this song about what a poem is, that, but actually it is much deeper. And especially, you know, hearing Nicol really make an argument for the poem being inside of your body and what that means for aliveness and sort of how the poem lives on and can be like reanimated. It is quite a serious poem. So I thought that, Barwin was able to kind of help me like tune into more of its serious, more dissonant side.
I agree. And I think his explanation of it to himself and then to us back in 2015 really fleshed that out. I think that the piece that he creates is a successful sort of manifestation of this idea of both, you know, honoring the kind of flower power innocence, you know, our naivete that he identifies, you know, as one way of hearing that poem, but also I suppose we could say a more dissonant or even darker and deeper meaning, you know, within the sounds of that poem.
Yeah. It also makes me think of how these songs that are now on the album I After H by Gary Barwin have this combination of the creative and the critical, which then kind of goes back to the conference that we've been playing some clips from Canlit Across Media from 2015, where Barwin spoke about how he was sort of conceptualizing these tracks and these remixes of Nicol's work. And it just makes me think of how when listening to one of these tracks on the album, he's also making an argument about Nicol's poetry, and we invite you then to hear these tracks as both creative works but also critical works, in sort of them making an argument or some commentary about the poetry itself. And I think we can hear that in the choices that he's made sonically.
That's great. So we're going to close out the show with two tracks, or one and a half. I don't think we'll have time for the full second one, but the title track is I After H, and first we're going to hear that. And that will lead into some of the seventh track on the album, and I love this title.
The
greatest literary masterpiece is no more than an alphabet in disorder.
All right, well, let's have a listen first to I After H, and thanks for listening to Sonic Lit.
The greatest literary masterpiece is no more than an alphabet in disorder. Masterpiece. The greatest. More than it. The literary is no masterpiece disorder. Alphabet.